For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Hi there, I'm Kayla Machin-Garvin with Hereabouts. I'm here with Dr. Yuko Kurahashi, and Dr. Kurahashi is a graduate of the Indiana University PhD theater program, and so she's here to talk to us about theater in general and in specific sort of Asian American theater. So thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Kurahashi.
Thank you so much.
So we had talked a little bit earlier about sort of why you got into theater in general and then how you came to land in your specific field studying Asian American theater amongst other theater practices. So could you speak a little bit about what drew you to theater in the first place?
My father was a professor, translator, and director of the theater in Japan. And because of that, I had many opportunities to attend theaters and also rehearsals. And I think the most influential experience for me was when I was six. The family had an opportunity to visit New York City and stay there over 1.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the musical, The Sound of Music.
Oh, my gosh.
And Fiddle on the Roof.
Oh.
So even though I was very small, that impact became the root or my passion for theater to do something about it, you know. But when we went back to Tokyo, Japan, I became just a Japanese student and became very busy with normal curriculum. So I really didn't think so much about studying theater until later, when I had to choose where I'm going as an adult or after high school. And then I chose English literature, and because I like literature and drama. And in Japan, still it is true, there are not so many theater departments which do practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very natural for many people to choose English literature department to study drama. And that's what I chose. And then the years go by, I was still dissatisfied with myself. And then I came to apply for colleges, and I chose Indiana University because the Department of Theater and Drama, at that time it was called, was excellent.
Yeah, wonderful. That's so funny that you saw that production of Sound of Music. I have a tattoo on my foot of Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music. So when you said that, I just thought about my own connections to that, mm-hmm. that musical and how much I love it myself. I didn't mention earlier in the interview, I'm a member of the IU, now we call it the Department of Theater, Drama, and Contemporary Dance. I think mm-hmm. they've shoehorned mm-hmm. dance yeah. in there. But I'm curious as to how you came to study. One of your published works is about the history of the East-West Players, which is a prominent Asian-American theater collective based out of Los Angeles. What led you to that sort of research on their company?
Well, when I came to the point that I had to choose a topic of dissertation, or maybe before then, when I was writing MA thesis, it's about Asian depiction of Asians in theater, and then I chose several plays to do that. I think over the years in Bloomington, Indiana, I came to realize that I'm an Asian. When you're in Japan or China or Thailand, you are not an Asian, you are just a person, right? And then you may be a Japanese, but you never call yourself an Asian when
right.
you are in Japan. And then there are not many, but Asian American literature. And around that time, David Henry Hwang's M. Butterfly became a Broadway hit. So I started to hear Asian American, and what is that? And already I studied, at that time we called Black Theater. African-American theater with Dr. Winona Fletcher. So I know the importance of minority, quote-unquote, theaters. And then because I am an Asian, I didn't know, but I am Asian, I should study Asian-American theater. And that's maybe the very simple answer.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think it is sort of interesting to talk about sort of the construction of the Asian American identity, because that wasn't always an identity, even within America. Sort of my very bare bones research into the topic sort of led me to the conclusion that it was a sort of political term that was coined in the 1960s, mm-hmm. only because mm-hmm. sort of like the white gaze was classifying us all under an Asian American umbrella, even though most people, I think, to this day continue to identify more prominently with their nationality than under this umbrella of Asian America. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious as to a lot of people, I think myself included, sort of stumble into Asian American theater in the way that you did. And by that, I mean, I didn't really know of an existence of an Asian American theater because I wasn't really taught about it. And it wasn't really available where I grew up. And so my sort of education in Asian American theater has all been sort of self-taught and self-researched. So for people out there who might be listening who are interested in Asian American theater, where would you start to learn about it? Where would you look if you had sort of a casual interest in Asian American theater? Where's a good place to look to learn about it, other than your own book, of course, including your own book, I should say.
I would go to several theater companies' websites, like mm-hmm. East West Players,
yeah,
and Pan Asian Repertory Theater, and there are other. But East West Players does very good work and has been very influential. And that is something I would recommend. And then actually go see the shows and get to know people who have worked there. There are so many actors and directors, designers, and playwrights who not necessarily came out, but worked with them. Mm. So some of them became professors, and so it's there.
Yeah.
And so I recommend to actually see some shows at theater companies.
Yeah, that's great. I'm wondering, too, if you could speak a little bit to, you know, we're located here in Indiana in the Midwest. I grew up on the West Coast. I grew up in California, but in the Bay Area. So the Asian American theater scene was happening more in Southern California, in LA. And when I moved, I did my undergraduate in New York. So I got to know a little bit Ma Yi Theater Company and sort of the New York-based mm-hmm. Asian American theater companies. But for people who are out here in the Midwest, what are sort of the resources that we can look to in this area? We can look at the website of East West Players and of all these other theater companies out there. I know there's also some Asian American theater companies based out of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Theater Mu?
Yeah,
you're talking
yeah.
about? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rick Shiomi founded it. And Rick Shiomi was a playwright at East West Players.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, actually. What do you consider to be sort of, this is a very broad question, but what do you consider to be sort of the state of Asian American theater? Now we're sort of, I guess, close to 50 years mm-hmm. after the formation mm-hmm. of East West Players. What do you see to be the state of Asian American theater?
It became very broad mm-hmm. and then more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And that is a really great thing. When Marco started East West Players in 1965, they were predominantly Chinese or Japanese descent with a few Korean descent. So that their notion of Asian Americans or Chinese American, Japanese American, maybe Korean Americans. Now we have more diversity within this term Asian Americans, and actually there are many directors and actors who are very active, not necessarily in Asian American platform or category, but there are many people who are working very successfully. And then also playwrights range from the different ethnic backgrounds. And then so we are learning diverse cultures, history, even we are Asian Americans and we don't know necessarily other people's culture within Asian American category. So we kind of teach each other, influence each other, and then grow.
Yeah, I think that's so great, especially there's been a lot of talk, I think, particularly in the recent, maybe I would say like 8 weeks with the release of the first, you know, large scale Asian American cast for a film with Crazy Rich Asians about diversity within the Asian diaspora, because there really is so much there. And I know there was a lot of dialogue about people both feeling very represented by Crazy Rich Asians and not represented by it because the Asians that they were sort of showing on screen were primarily East Asian and primarily very wealthy. So that spoke to a certain subset of Asian Americans, but a lot of people either felt left out or did feel very included. So I think that's important to think about as we move forward as a community, is how we can, you know, sort of include all versions of Asian versions. America.
Yes, yes. And then I think that really makes our country rich and profound.
You've been listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio on WFHB. In this interview, host Kayla Machine Garvin speaks with Kent State Theater Professor Yuko Kirahashi.
I had asked you earlier, sort of switching gears a little bit. I had mentioned earlier, rather, that you attended school here in Indiana. Was this your first American college experience?
Or yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. What was it like to be, and you were in the department a while ago. What was it like to be in the Indiana University sort of setting at that time?
I was young, and I was very excited to be there, and I went to I was living in a dorm for a year, and then I moved out and then started to live with three other American ladies, and they are all students in the house on North Grant.
Oh, my
gosh. So, next to the church. So I was so excited about what I would be able to do and attend classes, and then so great professors and instructors, and then actually getting involved with the theater productions, even as a capacity of crew member, because I took several practical classes like costume and lighting.
Oh, wow.
So that in order to complete those classes, we have to be a crew member. So it was exciting to see my name on the program as a crew member, and wow, that was great. So, but I think it, in retrospect, I felt always a little bit awkward, and then I just couldn't fit in. And then it's very natural. And then I think all of the people who come to this country, especially if you're English is a second language, I think it's very natural to feel that way. And I thought that my English was very good, but I was told that at the beginning, nobody could understand my English. So it is a liberation. You have to really make an effort to communicate. But besides that, I think it is always the part that I didn't fit in when I was a graduate student.
Yeah.
But that was, I think, something you need to suppress or erase, because even though you are not international student or Asian student, many people feel that way when you come to college. So you have to use it as a fuel to grow, and then think about what you can do as you.
I love that so much. Yeah, I mean, I think I've had similar experiences within the department, mostly because, it is a big change to sort of uproot your life and move to a college town to pursue your studies. That's always a big change. But I also think in particular, theater is a very white institution, and it remains that way. And so if you're invested in decentralizing whiteness as a part of theater, it's always going to be sort of an uphill battle, I think, anyway,
yes.
Or has been in my experience. Switching gears a little bit, What are some of the plays that you've seen or read recently that were really affecting to you? We discussed them earlier as sort of like desert island plays. If you had to be stranded on a desert island with 1 to 3 plays, what plays would you bring along?
Well, I would like to bring some production DVD or you know, YouTube with me to that island, not only scripts. But I like Loren Gunderson's The Revolutionists. Revolutionist. It's a fictional story about the women who never met during the French Revolution, but the playwright created a situation they actually met and discussed, and most of them were guillotined.
Oh, wow.
In the end. And then that's the actual story because they never met, but some of the characters exist. Hmm. So that was a very powerful play. The other one is the one I produced here, or directed and produced in Bloomington, and Very Nice Houston's Tea, about war brides from Japan, and struggle, and friendship, and disappointment, and love, and hope. And that's still impacted my life. And then actually without that play, I think I would have been a different person. And I recently saw in the UK the play called The Jungle. It is about by the refugees in Calais jungles before it was completely demolished. Mm. So it's about the refugees, their lives and their sustainability and their resilience and their tenacity and their hope for the future. And that's coming to New York City in December.
Oh, wow. I'll have to keep my eyes open for that. Could you speak a little bit about the play that you produced and directed while you were here? What was that like? Did you put that up as part of the department or was it outside of the university?
It was outside of the university. And I started to make friends with the Asian students or Asian American students. Most of them were born here, so Asian American students, undergraduate students. So we talked about what we can do, and let's put a show. But that play was introduced to me when I was an exchange student or traveling scholar, they called. Traveling scholar, and I was in Madison, Wisconsin for a year in 1990, and I met Venice Houston, and I really wanted to do the play, so I actually contacted her later, and then she gave me a student rate honorarium.
Oh,
our royalty, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you do it in a theater venue, or did you use a found space?
It's a I rented the Monroe County Public Library Auditorium.
Oh my gosh.
And actually, I have here.
Oh, you have a program.
Yes, I have a program here.
Oh my
gosh.
And
then this is a poster.
Oh my gosh, this is incredible.
And then this is a review.
Oh, wow. So what we have here is a review from the Indiana Daily Student, Tuesday, September 7th, 1993. Congratulations on last spring's play is the headline. And we have here, I would like to commend the director, Yuko Kurahashi, a doctoral student in the Department of Theater and Drama, and the cast for their beautiful performances. And then she lists the performers. This is wonderful. Wow. So it says here it was produced by the Asian American Association. Is that, I assume that's an on-campus association?
Well, I just don't have a clear memory of that.
I do feel like particularly in Asian American theater, we use it both as art and as community building. And I feel like this, your production here with all of these beautiful materials is just such a great example of that, as of simultaneous art making and community building at the same time. This is so cool. Wow. Yeah, at Monroe County Public Library Auditorium, corner of Kirkwood and Lincoln. Wow. This is amazing. So you had the playwrights express permission to put on this play.
Yes. And then I applied for grant. It was Bloomington Arts Council or... Yes, I applied for several grants and I got it. And then I put that on the stage.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, wow. This is so great. Now I just want to pause the interview and read your program note because I'm so interested in this play. This play is I'm not familiar with this playwright. Is she American?
She is Asian American. She's half African American and half Japanese. Her mother is Japanese and her father was African American. Oh, and wow. Then this is based upon the stories she heard from her mother and her friends who came to America or United States from Japan after the war as the wives of GIs.
Oh, yeah. I was really interested in, sort of in the introduction to your book, you talk about ethnic theater as a site of immigrant cultural expression, which I sort of see in you talking about this play and how... especially in sort of like Asian American theater, what a lot of plays do is sort of like retell these stories mm-hmm. from our first generation mm-hmm. relatives as a site of sort of making a space for that within the culture.
I think the first generation or older generations, like my mother or Verena's mother, they didn't have so many opportunities to express themselves and we have the next generations have more privilege and a wider opportunity to do things, and then I think it's our responsibilities, that the younger generations' responsibilities, to tell stories of those who didn't to have a chance to talk about and talk about their stories. And a good example is the internment experience. Many people don't or didn't want to talk about because it was so painful. And they took the experience as a shame. Mm. It's not their fault, but the shame. So they didn't talk about their experience. And the younger generations started to think that it's, you know, that needs to be documented. So I knew there are several projects, documentary oral history projects, one in Ohio, I know. So the younger people started to interview those people who were interned. So the same thing that those playwrights who talk about the older generations, I think they have this tremendous sense of responsibilities to tell stories.
Thank you so much. I think that's a great note to sort of conclude this on, in looking to the future too of theater, not just Asian American theater too. I think it's sort of prevalent in theater at large too, that we sort of feel a responsibility to tell our previous histories. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been so lovely to talk with you, and I'm so glad we had this chance.
Thank you.
All right, this has been Hereabouts. Thanks.
That was host Kayla Mation-Garvin speaking with Yuko Kirahashi. Dr. Kirahashi is a professor in the School of Dance and Theater at Kent State University. She was speaking about her experiences in theater as an Asian American woman and the Asian theater scene. Michelle Zauner is the artist behind Japanese Breakfast. Despite the name, Zauner is not Japanese but comes from Korean and Jewish descent, and says she hopes her work can influence more Asian Americans to be involved in music. You're listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio on WFHB. Now here's Machinist by Japanese Breakfast.
I don't know how it happened. Was it always this way? And I just couldn't see it. Heart burning, hot enough. that you were holding back. All the times I felt so plugged in. You were tuning out. I made a channel, a culture, a hologram, and a place.
How can I fight the kingdom of your demons?
Machinist by Japanese Breakfast off of the album Soft Sounds from Another Planet. That album was released by Bloomington-based label Dead Oceans. You've been listening to Hereabouts Asian American Midwest Radio on WFHB. I'm Joyce Lam.
You've been listening to Hereabouts.
Hereabouts is produced with the IU Asian Culture Center and broadcast from WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth.
Tune in to Hereabouts every other week from 5:30 to 6 on Wednesdays right here on WFHB.